All right. Hey, guys. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Football Friends podcast. I am, as always, your fearless host, Cameron McCoy. I'm joined today by Chris Diaz.
Hello.
And Evan Googe.
What's going on?
Little Googe. So, yeah. Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
I'm making it, man.
Making it. Just sliding on by.
Day at a time.
Yeah, I feel like that's a lot of us. I could say fairly the same thing. Chris, how about you, man? How are you doing?
Hanging in there. I accidentally refreshed the page as you were saying that, so I was able to get back in time.
Yeah, you came back right in time. So I think we're all having the same like basic response. We're all doing all right. I feel like that's the general feeling in the United States right now. Like, everyone's just kind of doing all right to bad. Or all right to awful, depending on how you look at it, I guess.
Like, yeah, even... just living in a very volatile time where every day you potentially could be living through a historic day.
You know, I love the quote, like, the quote curse that people... like I've seen it in things before, but they're like it's got to be someone famous said this at some point, but they basically said, I hope you live in interesting times, and they meant it as like an insult, because interesting times typically mean ridiculous things going on. So I feel like that's where it's at. Like, every day is another interesting thing, but it's unfortunately typically not great. So,
I don't know, to man. Begin these, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Let me shake it off real quick. Oh, all right. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. So we're gonna get into less depressing topics. Let's do the first half kickoff question, because this is definitely a less depressing topic. We're gonna go with, if animals could talk, basically like anthropomorphic animals to a certain extent, they could talk. Which animal do you think would be the rudest? Gooch, you can go first.
I'm going to say a Canadian geese. Canadian geese. Dude, they are so mean. I've had a buddy like attacked on campus when he was like walking back from lunch. They're so bad everywhere in Florida. Like, they're just... God, they're invasive.
Wait, they're in Florida?
Yeah.
Huh. That's wild.
They're just from Canada.
Oh.
Well, I think, okay. I don't know. I'm not a I'm not a science major. Don't quote me here.
I don't think a science major is what you would need to be to know that. Isn't it like an ornithologist? They study birds, right? I think they study birds.
Dude, why are you asking me?
I don't know. Chris isn't chiming in, so I don't know. Geese, gooses, ganders, they're mean. They're super mean. Like, I've seen videos. I mean, we've all seen Hot Fuzz. That's why the cops had to be called on that goose.
That's a swan, dude.
Oh.
Are you thinking of swans this whole time?
No.
Birds in general.
Birds in general are mean, but no. Like... Goose, geese, I misremembered that movie.
Yeah, dude,
it's a swan. Well, they're all not real. You know, we all know birds aren't real. Right?
Yeah, dude. I'm 100% with that.
But
became a conspiracy theory podcast.
Oh, this podcast, I have a feeling with all three of us on it, this podcast is going to be a lot of things. We were just talking stocks earlier, so, you know, stock podcast taste. But anyway, yeah, no, geese are mean. Birds like that, like, ducks can be very mean. You know, we're all from, or at least lived in the same place, for at least, what, four years, at least? We all lived here in Tallahassee, right? We've all been to Lake Ella, right? Everyone's been to Lake Ella.
That's a special breed of duck, though.
Yeah, but that I'm just saying, like, those webbed feet you know, dudes, those web feet things that float in water and eat breadcrumbs, they're mean. Although chickens... Oh,
dude, breads are bad for ducks.
Chickens are also mean. Like,
yeah.
If you've ever been in chicken coop...
They're like murdered for food, which I'm not going to complain because I love it, but that's a terrible life.
Well, they're also basically dinosaurs. Like a chicken is basically...
So are gators.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh my goodness, anyway, so long. But yeah, basically what I was saying is I agree. I agree with that answer 100%. They'd probably be very mean. Chris, what animal are you thinking about?
Some will be surprised, but I would say that a dolphin probably would be pretty rude. They're notorious for bullying, especially I've heard them bullying weaker whales, ganging up on them, poking them with their stupid noses, and
they do it to sharks too.
Yeah, sharks. I've heard them bully sharks, and they have a proclivity to do things in a manner that is unwanted. I'm trying to keep it PG.
If possible. Yeah, the touching the no-no zone.
The most friendly. Yeah, they're sexual harassment panda would not be a fan if that's the best way to play it.
Trying to keep it PG. Here's a South Park reference.
It would. Well, I mean, right. Just a reference isn't that bad. No, yeah, it would be very, I don't know, awkward and uncomfortable. There's also an episode of King of the Hill. This is like the second time while we've been talking tonight that I've referenced King of the Hill to you guys, even if the first one was off recording. But yeah,
big
like
propane there's, fan.
Dude, I love King of the Hill, man. I feel like when I was younger, I hated it because it was the most boring thing on Sunday night animation block on Fox. But as an adult, it slaps.
I think I can agree with that.
It slaps. Like, especially, like, as a working adult, and it's just like, yeah, I get a lot of this. It's just nice.
The humor's aimed to you.
Yeah, it definitely realigned to my, or like, I realigned its point of view. Anyway, so, yeah. Those are both good answers.
Well, what about you, Cam?
So I'm torn because we've talked about this, and like I feel like I can't choose between like just the pigeon. I feel like the pigeon would be the worst because pigeons are basically everywhere. Like every place has pigeons, but like I also feel pretty strongly about the kangaroos that we were talking about earlier. Kangaroos seem like some real tough individuals.
They
tough
seem
cookies.
Like Giga Chad, like, you know, like that kind of person that walks up to you at the gym and, you know, make sure they lift the heavier weight right next to you and then slap you in the face because you're weak.
Yeah. They're like, look at you. You ain't got no pouch. Look at me jumping around. Yeah. And plus they're Australian, so they say mate a lot, and they throw shrimps on the Barbie, right? Yeah. That's about all I know about Australia.
That's all you know about Australia.
No, I also know that they have very strict gun laws. So,
and like 3/4 of the country is unlivable.
Yeah, there's a cool park there, a national park that like floods for like half the year or something, and like you can go scuba diving at it and see the benches
second,
and stuff.
For a second, you said it flooded, and I was like, that sounds very.
Well, like, yeah,
vacation spot. They could kill you.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there aren't. I don't know.
Everything's built on stilts. It's like living at the beach.
I don't think it's big enough that it's like. I don't know. I don't know the details of it, but it always like I've seen the picture floating around, and then I've read the description of it, and it's like that sounds kind of cool. Go scuba diving in a spot that you usually like walk your dog. That sounds fun. Anyway. So yeah, that's the first half kickoff question. I'm just gonna say yeah that, and you guys, Gooch talked about Canadian geese. Chris, you talked about dolphins. I'm like Flipper. I'm having a hard time keeping this episode from the first episode we've recorded trying to do this. So yeah.
Spoiler Dolphins. Alert, this is attempt number two at this.
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties on the last one, so couldn't really post it. I could hear myself. I couldn't hear Chris at all. It was very weird. Like, I was crazy. So, anyway, those are the kickoff questions for the first half. The second half is going to be more focused on where we're going with the episode. We're going to talk QB rankings today, QB positions, projections, based on, like, I made my projections, these guys have received them. We're going to just kind of hash out where they think I'm wrong, and I'll argue my case, and then that'll be the episode. The breakdown's pretty interesting, the way it shook out. So, based on what we're going to be talking about, we're going to ask the question, guys, what QB, based on their ADP, do you think will, like, overperform that? To the point where, you know, people should take note. Chris, who you got?
Well, I had a couple, but I'm going to give you my super homer pick as a Steelers fan. Mitch Trubisky is currently 33 in ADP, and they have Kenny Pickett ahead of him. And Kenny Pickett's not, in most cases, not going to start. He would have to be, like, miles ahead of where everybody else is. So I do think Mitch Trubisky will outperform that just because he does have the added threat of some mobility, and with the weapons that Pittsburgh has on offense, and the offense they run, I think he would perform a good bit better than 33. The only other name I had was Derek Carr. Derek Carr is 13 on ADP, and I can see him sneaking into the top 10, if not the top 6, if he has a really good season. Picked up a really good weapon in Devontae Adams. They kind of maintained the skill position roster that they had last year, and it's just going to be tough that he's going to be in a tough division, but it's not a division that plays a whole lot of defense in terms of on the back end. So I do think he could outperform that as well. But I think the one to note for me that's the most important would be Mitch Trubisky, because Mitch Trubisky could be a good late find that could get you some value because he's being slept on, at least ADP-wise.
Wow. That was a lot of picks and stuff. I'm actually kind of surprised you included Mitch Trubisky, because I feel like we just talked about him and you weren't quite on board. Like, you didn't think that he wasn't going to be the starter. Am I misremembering that?
No, I am sure he's going to be the starter. I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to take the job. Kenny Pickett would have to be leaps and bounds ahead of him for them to start a rookie. And, I mean, they signed him with a pretty hefty price tag. I mean, he wasn't expensive, but he's not cheap. And they signed him to be a gap quarterback, and I think they're going to use him as such. And the reason I mention him is because he's going at 33, which is beyond all 32 starters.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Value for him, at least in the first half of the season. If he doesn't perform and Pickett gets taken ahead, then that number, that value is going to be, or that ADP is going to be warranted. But I don't foresee him struggling enough that they pull him.
So I'm actually, yeah, kind of surprised that the ADP, I mean, that just seems, that's a lot of people thinking that he's going to be the guy starting out. He's going to be the guy, and he's going to have the whole season. Basically, I imagine that they aren't expecting him to have the entire season, but, I mean, at 26, if you're a full-time starter for the Steelers, I feel like you'd go higher than that. But yeah, there's absolutely no way that if he starts, Trubisky ends up 34. That's not even a starter in most, like, super flex leagues. So yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good answer. I actually didn't scroll down that far, so that makes it, like, they have Sam Darnold way down here, too. Like, I feel like right now he's the starter. Yeah, it could change, but that seems weird. Anyway, Gooch, who you got, man?
I've got Jalen Hurts. He's at 8. I think he could, I don't think he'll get top 6, but I think he could at least go above Dak Prescott. I mean, them getting A.J. Brown this year will help. Devontae Smith should have a better year this year. What, it's his second year this year?
Yeah, second year. But yeah. I gotta say that's a very soft bet.
I know. You're like, easy route. Yeah, I couldn't think of anything and I panicked.
You're like, yeah, the number eight guy? Yeah, I think he could be number six. Go seven.
I mean,
but like, look at who's above him. Like, I don't think he'll beat out Joe Burrow.
No.
You think the sixth spot?
I'm saying you think that he will finish better than sixth, not just that he will go ahead of it, right? Like the
No, I don't think he'll break top five. I think
you don't think
up one would probably be
as far as he goes.
Well, realistically, yes.
So you're saying
someone gets injured, he could easily move up.
So what you're also saying with that answer is that you think Dak Prescott will finish worse than seven.
I don't know how far worse than seven.
Well,
I mean,
I don't disagree.
I mean, they could just flip flop. I mean, he could just end at eight.
I was just saying I don't disagree with that take. And in fact, we'll probably talk about that a little bit when we start kind of breaking down the projections that I put out there, because I do not have Dak Prescott way up there. So I also agree with your take on that. I just find it very funny. You were like, yeah, this one guy, yeah, I think he'll finish one spot higher.
At least. Realistically.
Yeah. That guy, yeah, I think he'll finish one
spot. But like higher. I said, I mean,
he might also finish right where he is, but, you know, Dak Prescott finishes eighth, and you're still right. Technically, yeah. Based on what you said.
Yeah, dude, I'm casting my net wide here.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you catch a lot of fish. So the player that I think is going to, like, and I think this could be, he just grossly outperforms his ADP right now. That's Davis Mills. And he's currently going as QB 29 in ADP. 29? There are 32 starters. That means that people are taking him as if he's going to be the fourth worst QB. Like, what? He has a receiver that is guaranteed to get 1,200 yards, essentially. He has a really good rookie running back. He has a couple of pass-catching running backs. I feel like they're going to find a way to get him more involved, and he was already fairly accurate last year. And
if Mechie comes in healthy into the season, because he got hurt at the end of the season in college.
Wait, who?
John Mechie, who they drafted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he did really well in college. Will it translate? I think so, but I mean, coming into the league off an injury.
Yeah, that's tough.
Maybe not this year, but maybe next year he could blow up. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I still think that. I mean, things will still change throughout the season, and there's still plenty of time before the season starts that we have to worry about people not being able to be traded. Like, I would not be surprised if the season starts off strong for Davis Mills, and they play in a decently fair division, you know? The competition is okay, but it's not like it's not...
It's AFC South.
Yeah.
As Jags fan, like,
well, you know, they, I mean, you still have the Colts there, and the Titans are kind of a wild card this year, so it's like, it's easy to say that what would that, 66% of their competition for the majority of the year is easy, but who knows on Tennessee? And I definitely don't think that they're going to beat Indianapolis. I mean, that's going to be a tough order. So, but basically what I'm saying is I think that they will be in losing situations. I think he'll have to throw a lot. I think he'll end up scoring a lot. I think that he himself as a quarterback will be better, way better than his average draft position right now. And it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, that's almost criminal.
That How is going. He as a runner?
He's not good.
The answer is not.
Not okay. at all. Yeah, basically non-existent.
Rush yards, 110. Yeah, well, that's what he's projected, so I can see what you're saying.
Wait, I have him with 85.
Yeah, okay, so 110 or 85, that's still really bad.
Yeah, yeah, that's rough. He's also... He's also the only quarterback other than Matthew Stafford that I have projected with zero rushing touchdowns.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is, you know what? This is a great time. It's pretty much a great segue. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to stop to just let the people know that was our first and second half kickoff questions. Again, this is the Fantasy Football Friends podcast. You can get us at theffbfriends@gmail.com or at ffbfriends on Twitter. We appreciate any questions, comments, concerns, especially questions that we can kind of touch on air. That's always fun. You want to hit us with that. We're on pretty much every streaming service right now, wherever you're listening to us. If you want to go ahead and give us a like, you know, put us on that auto download and whatnot, give us a review, that would be really helpful. And the biggest thing you could do is if you enjoy listening to us, tell a friend, tell any possible friend you have, hey, check out this podcast. That would be great. Otherwise, yeah, we're going to get into the episode. We're going to be talking about kind of QB projections. I put together my projections. This is my first year doing it. And I put in a little bit of math, a little bit of extrapolation, a little bit of gut feeling, and came up with some projections on QBs for 4 and 6 point touchdowns. So we're gonna, you know, just go through this list and see what we think just stands out. Just give general feelings on these projections. Y'all ready for that?
The Space Jam.
You ready for this?
That's all I think about, Space Jam, when you sing that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's like how to tell if you're a 90s kid.
I still never saw the second one.
I haven't either. I kind of refuse to. I don't want to ruin it. I saw one clip of it on Reddit with like Porky Pig rapping, and I was like, yeah, no. I don't think I can make it through that.
Yeah, the Notorious P.I.G.
Yeah, that's almost, that's really, in like, I take offense to that. Like, for
Piggy Smalls.
Yeah, for poor Piggy. Like, dude, that's a rolling over in your grave kind of situation.
Poor guy.
Yeah, that's not great. Like, they, like, that, you know what they should have done is Piggy Smalls and Two Duck, and it's Daffy Duck. Like, Two Duck, you know, instead of Tupac.
Where, you know that meme where there's, like, three or four people sitting in a business room,
yeah,
and, like, they're bouncing around ideas.
Dude gets, and thrown, out, gets thrown
out the window. When you said Two Duck, you're the guy in the window.
Yeah, you're gone, dude.
Yeah, but most of the time, the funny thing is about that comic strip is that most of the time, the guy that gets thrown out the window has the best idea. Like, that's what you're saying, is that I have the best idea.
This is the opposite. This is the opposite.
So what you're telling me is y'all think that I'm the people that spit out the bad ideas.
Hey, man, good, your idea words was not to mine. Not
watch Space Jam 2. The good idea was not to watch. How about we don't watch it? Yeah. Throw it out the window.
All right. All right. So, not surprisingly, I have Josh Allen ranked first. I got Lamar Jackson second, Russell Wilson fourth, and Kyler Murray fifth. And no, fourth. Sorry, I'm off a number. The spreadsheet. Josh Allen first, Lamar Jackson second, Russell Wilson third, Kyler Murray fifth or fourth.
Fourth.
And Justin Herbert fifth. That's going to get me all nine. I already know what it is because I'm looking at their numbers over there. but anyway, yeah, through those first five, what stands out to you? Do you guys have any fun thoughts on those first five guys? I mean, Josh Allen, I feel like, is pretty set in stone. But, you know.
Yeah, unless something happens, like, I don't think he's not going to be number one.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like he is. Oh, wow, that is super helpful. So he's number one in 4-point. I wish I had the statistics to find out which one is the more popular version of fantasy football. 4-point or 6-point. All the leagues that I run do 5-point. We're right in the middle, so I'm not really sure.
I think the ESPN fantasy does 6.
6. All right. Well, we'll just... All right. We'll default to 6 then. So it goes from them to Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers jumps up into the top 5 because of his touchdown percentage and totals. So out of those 5, it's pretty much the same 5. How do you guys feel about that? I mean, you know, I think we can all agree Josh Allen is at the top, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed there for sure. Wilson in 2 is interesting. I do think he's going to have a resurgence this year with ideally a better situation. Rodgers also making it up to the top 5. I mean, obviously Rodgers is Rodgers, but Rodgers has no weapons and his favorite target is no longer on the team, and they didn't replace it with anybody like of note. You would hope their rookies end up working out, but that's a lot on 12 shoulders.
Yeah, I think that Aaron Rodgers is almost one of those kind of QBs that just gets it done. Like he's.
Oh yeah, I mean he always finds a way, but.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like I don't see a way where he doesn't perform well. And based on last year, which not much about them has really changed overall, other than Devontae Adams leaving, but like as far as coaching, philosophy, and all that goes, based on the amount of plays they ran, passes versus run ratio and stuff, I've got him down for 640 attempts, which is one of the highest out there for anybody, especially ranked this high. Like that honestly might be conservative, but that's because I expect them to win a decent amount of games, so they won't have to throw as much. But his completion percentage is real high compared to anybody else. He's very efficient. So I have him with 416 completions. Touchdowns, like I said, that's where I've got him getting the most out. 41 touchdowns, man. The man, I think he when I was looking at his numbers, I'm pretty sure he hasn't scored less than 40 the last couple of years. I can vet that real quick, I think. Yeah, but
I mean, he's definitely been, like, if they score, it's going to be through him. It's rare. There was a brief period of time where Aaron Jones was their main touchdown source, but it seems that's, you know, right in line with what's actually going to happen. That team, I don't know what the identity is going to be because with the lack of pass catching options, obviously Rodgers makes it happen with anybody, but I wonder if they start to lean a little more on Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, and then ground and pound because they've invested a lot in the defense, so they could try to shorten games. less possessions, less scoring, but don't let anybody score on them.
Well, I think what like that'll be a good reference for once I start doing the positional breakdowns. I do think that Aaron Jones is actually going to have a top 10, if not top 5 season. I think he's going to be one of their main pass catchers, especially as one of Aaron Rodgers's one of his most familiar targets. I mean, this is a man who hyper targets what he knows and who knows him. I think that Aaron Jones is going to end up catching a ridiculous amount of passes this season. I think that he's going to run out of the slot, or he's going to line out wide fairly frequently, and they'll have A.J. Dillon in the background, and Rodgers will just dump off to him and let him do his thing. So he's actually pretty high on my board.
Do we have any other thoughts on the top five here, Evan? Any outliers for you?
No.
All right. Cool. So we're all kind of in agreement on that. The next five would be Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Watson, Prescott. So Murray, Mahomes, Brady, Watson, Prescott. You guys, anything there stand out to you? I would say that, you know, based on ADP, Tom Brady is higher ranked there. So
he actually has potential to go up because he finished QB3 last year.
Yeah.
Loses Gronk, but gains Russell Gage.
The one problem for him, I think, is that he's going to start the year without it's pretty much assumed at this point that he's going to start the year without Chris Godwin, so that's not super great for him. But yeah, word out of camp, word from him, it's early, but they are saying that Russell Gage is stepping in very nicely for them, so that's pretty good. I think that he'll end up with a pretty good fantasy finish. I don't think it'll be as good. I took away some points based on the fact that Chris Godwin won't be there for the beginning of the year. He'll probably have a lower touchdown percentage because of it. He'll also probably have fewer yards. But I still think that he finds a way. I mean, he's Tom Brady. He'll find a way. He also, just like Aaron Rodgers, he has 41 touchdowns on the year.
Well, he's probably going to lose some touchdowns too with Gronk going out, because I mean that was his main man down low.
Yeah, that was his main man down low, but you know he still has Cameron Brate, and is
OJ Howard still there too? Right.
I was just gonna say, is OJ Howard not still there? Am I forgetting something? I feel like OJ Howard is still there.
He is, but I know that he's. I mean, he's well paid for not not doing necessarily what they.
He's played for the Bills.
Yeah. Okay. Oh,
he's on the Bills.
Well, I still think Cameron Brate's a pretty decent tight end. I mean, is he Gronk? No, but Gronk was a monster out there. I mean, you just look at him; he just manhandles people. He's like Derrick Henry at the running back position. He's a mismatch for everybody. His speed, his strength—that's a mean combination. So, but. Yeah, so Tom Brady's probably mine. That's in this that like I think people are taking him way too low.
Y'all got this group as a whole outside of Deshaun Watson, and I'll let Evan, you know, do.
Evan.
But
dude,
the potential to be pretty volatile because a lot of these guys. On their best days could be in that top five. You know, Mahomes at 7 is interesting. I agree with you that he's not going to be as good or as good as he's being drafted and what you'd normally think, because I know people that'll draft him first round, and that's insane to me. But, you know, Brady, Mahomes, Murray all have the potential fantasy-wise to jump in that top five. But I have, you know, I'm interested to hear, especially because I kind of have a sneak peek of what your thoughts are, but I'm interested to hear on your thoughts on Deshaun Watson, and also, to be honest, Dak Prescott, because I know, Evan, you were already kind of low on Prescott to begin with.
Oh, wait, hang on. You didn't just take on Dak Prescott, did you?
Me? No, I've had Prescott for a couple
of years. Not you. Okay, you didn't trade him to Gooch.
No, I gave him Dak Prescott at least a year ago.
2 years
okay.
ago.
Okay. I
gave him Mac Jones this year.
I know you guys made a trade, so I don't know why for some reason I thought that was part of it, but it was part of a different trade that Chris was trying to unload.
Yeah, I'm trying to sell Prescott right now.
Unload Prescott. So yeah. Yeah, Gooch, why don't you Deshaun Watson, what? My guy. How do you feel on Deshaun Watson?
I mean, I guess pending legal stuff. I think he could do well in Cleveland.
Yeah, but I've seen several posts in the last 2 days, I want to say, 2-3 days, where the NFL is going to try to push for a full season suspension for him. Like, and the NFLPA is real upset about it. But I mean,
definitely affect his.
Well, obviously that's what makes it hard about doing these rankings too, because there's QBs that you're like, yeah, they have a history of missing a couple games, and I'm like, I don't want to really bake that in there. I don't want to assume they're gonna miss games. I want to see everybody at their best. Like in an ideal season, nobody would ever get hurt, and
yeah,
they'd all perform.
I mean, it's always like you said, it's always hard to do these because, like you said, unless it's a perfect season.
Yeah, like they start every game of the fantasy season, which I went to week 17, which means if you play into week 18, I don't have rankings for you really based on that. So, man. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those things that you just guess. You make an educated guess on what you expect, but
so you think that
in a bubble, their best could be this.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't like to be definitive with stuff like this just for that reason.
Yeah, I mean that's fair. That's a good way to look at it. I just thought you had some jokes to tell.
Oh yeah.
Well, now they're not going to be funny.
Oh.
Yeah. Not if they don't,
Gotta work on that timing.
Yeah. Well, that you'll get... Yeah. Yeah, Chris put it up in the air, and you just threw it at the other goal and still missed. Or the other basket and still missed. I guess I fumbled that analogy myself.
Semi-pro? Have you seen Semi-pro?
Yeah. Love it.
So, like, essentially, we alley-ooped, and the referee said it wasn't a foul because it just had to be a foul. That's just what it felt like there.
It's okay. We're friends. We're talking. It's all good.
On to the next batch, I say.
Yeah, next batch would be Derek Carr at 11, Trey Lance, Jalen Hurts, Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow. I mean, I have the one that stands out to me based on my projections right now. What are you guys thinking off of this? Highs, lows? Who are you surprised
about? I think Joe Burrow might be a little low.
Yeah, I figured you were. He was the one that was staring out to me.
A lot low, in my opinion.
A lot low? Okay, so I looked at how many passes they had. This is the same way that I produced all these numbers. I looked at the team. I looked at how many passes they threw last year. I looked at the split between run and pass. I adjusted it based on how I felt like the team improved. I think the team improved their offensive line an awful lot. I think that they're going to be able to run the ball more. I think that he's going to be very efficient, but I don't think that he's going to have to throw quite as much as he does. And I think he's going to get a decent amount of touchdowns, but I think that because of the improved offensive line, which they put a decent amount of resources into this offseason, I think that a lot more of their touchdowns are going to go to the running back. So that's where he ends up lower on the list, I think. He also, I mean, maybe he starts running more this year, and I could see a scenario where he would, but he, you know, even based on his rookie year, it wasn't a lot, and I don't think it's going to shoot all the way up, even though he's a year removed, over a year removed from his injury. I just think that, you know, he's not going to run a whole lot. I do have him down for 3 rushing touchdowns, so that helps out a little bit. But I just, his touchdown percentage for me is going to be lower than it was last year. So I've got him at 4.3 touchdown percentage, which is lower than average. His accuracy isn't great. Based on his numbers in the last 2 years, I think I did bump it up because in his second year I was expecting him to go up a little, or his third year I was expecting him to go up a little bit, but even still, it just doesn't end up with it doesn't end up with a high completion percentage at that point. And then he also only has a 2.2 interception ratio. Like, he threw a lot of interceptions. He's like tied for third highest. So anyway, that's why I have him where he is. I could very well see him going higher. He's probably, I agree with your response. He's probably one that should be higher and probably will finish higher, but these are projections. They're not really rankings. So.
Well, and one cool thing that I was just comparing is the stats that you have listed are actually a little higher on the yards, a little lower on the touchdowns. But they're pretty much, pound for pound aligned with what he did last year, and he blew up last year. So it could be that a lot of the guys ahead might be potentially over-projected, but based on the stats, and I just looked at his game log from last year, the stats you have in there align with what he did last year. So I do think that they improve, but 15 just seems super low, and some of the names ahead of him, I'm more questioning, more so than thinking, you know, it's more, I think he could be better than people ahead of him, less he's under-projected, if that makes sense.
I would count Watson out, just because obviously there's a good reason that he wouldn't end up ahead of him, but yeah, we'll leave him in there. Let's say Watson plays the whole year. Who above him do you really see, like, outside of the top 10? Like, do you see him cracking top 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Who do you think would fall out of the top 10 to make room for him?
Brady, Prescott. I'm actually looking at another different list. So, out of top 10. So, yeah, Prescott for sure, Brady. It's tough with the other ones because I want to say Kyler Murray, but he has that rushing that makes him, that's what makes him a good fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, even with the rushing, I would agree with that. I think he has a chance to not be in that area, especially without Hopkins. I downgraded him a little bit without Hopkins, but I figured Hollywood Brown coming to town.
Well, he could definitely would hurt. Pass him at least the first 6 weeks, but
yeah. But I think Kyler Murray by the end of the season will finish higher than him. So, I mean, I think he could finish higher than Matt Stafford. He could easily finish ahead of Trey Lance, but I think with Trey Lance's like rushing prowess, that seems like he'll be there, because a lot of what gets him to where he is that he also rushes a decent amount. And like, I have him with almost 800 rushing yards, so that's 80 points right there versus Joe Burrow's, 157, so 15.7 rushing points. I mean, that's a big difference. So
Lance is tough, though, because Lance is a small sample size.
Yeah, so the way I came up with his numbers is I looked at their propensity. Again, the same thing, like propensity of, or the number of plays that they ran, the percentage of pass to run ratio, and then I added and subtracted based on his two games, like I averaged it out what that would be for a 17 game pace, and then I kind of gut felt some of the math after that, and then got to where I was. So, I mean, if you look up his numbers, it was off the wall, so I dialed them down a bunch, but if he rushes anywhere near how he did last season, he's going to be a monster. Anyway, Chris, any other 10 through 15, 10 through 15 players that 11 through 15, I guess, that you would want to talk about?
I think
Gooch, how about you?
I wanted to mention.
No, I think I'm...
You're pretty good?
Yeah.
All right, so Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota, Justin Fields at 18, Ryan Tannehill at 19, and Jameis Winston at 20. What do you guys think? Chris, who stands out to you?
For honestly, a couple names. Cousins definitely interests me. I actually think it's a good spot for him. I think a lot of people sleep on him because he's never, you know, you think of him as choking in big games, and but he's performed well as a fantasy quarterback and has a lot of good weapons around him, and hopefully a strong running game and a strong pass catching running back.
He also likes to yell. Do you like that?
Yeah,
that should get you points right there.
Points. Yeah, just his quotes.
PPDYLT. Points.
Do you like that?
Do you like that? He's leading the league.
The other name that jumps out is Mariota, to be honest. Mariota this high. I know that's banking on his ability to rush. One of the things that I'm cautious about him in terms of running is that his rushing stats are a little exaggerated because he was mainly brought in as a change of pace to run some wildcat in Las Vegas. But I know in his time in Tennessee.
To be fair,
he also rushed.
I toned down his rushing yards from Las Vegas. Like, I averaged it out. So.
But him this high is interesting because a lot of fans view them as potential, the Falcons being them, the worst team in the league. And weapons wise, he has Kyle Pitts and he has Drake London. Drake London, a rookie, unproven. They lost Russell Gage. Calvin Ridley is suspended for gambling the worst $1,500 he's ever gambled. And it's a lot of question marks, but the potential's there, and he's a highly touted, you know, was drafted number 2 overall, so there's potential. He's above some names that I think could be ahead of him, but I do have to say that I do like seeing Jameis a little higher this go. I know last time in my hard to hear audio, I was a Jameis defender.
Yeah, you were mad because he was last. He's no longer last.
He was like 29.
No, I think he was last. I think it was last just because his percentages, based on the games he played, he didn't throw a whole lot of touchdowns outside of the first one, so it had to be broken down per game because he didn't play all the games, so I didn't have an accurate number there, and it was just all based on everything that unfortunately happened throughout his season. That's where it statted him out. And then I found out a better way to stat everybody out, so yeah, he's up there. He's much higher than he was before. But on the Marcus Mariota thing, the Falcons have always been a very pass heavy team. Even their running backs are always pass catchers, so I have him throwing a lot. I have him with a lot of receiving yards. And I have him rushing a decent amount. The main thing that is screwing him up is I also have him for 20 interceptions. So I think he has the highest interceptions in the league. So if he didn't have so many interceptions, like if you cut that back by 10 interceptions, he would immediately jump up the board. So, I mean, well,
that's what happens when you're throw heavy.
Yeah, throw heavy. Like, he just has a 2.9 interception ratio, and I expect him to have to throw a lot. So, I think he also has the highest. Yeah, he has the highest highest interception ratio percentage, and I have him with one of the highest, possibly the highest. Yep. Nope. Justin Herbert has more attempts, but only by 10. So, oh, and Tom Brady's going to pass more. So, I mean, he has the third highest pass attempts. They're going to have to throw a lot. I don't think their running game is particularly impressive outside of being able to pass catches and run away. I just don't think that their between the tackles guy is going to do that much. So, yeah. Marcus Mariota gets a lot of attempts, gets a lot of yardage, gets a lot of touchdowns, only a decent, only the most interceptions. So, yeah, I feel pretty strong about that.
I think he'd make Justin Fields has more interceptions, 22.
Oh yeah, Justin Fields is very.
That sounds about right, to be honest.
Yeah. Justin Fields is, and we're gonna. I mean, yeah. You say he has more. He's the only person with more. So, but yeah. Justin Fields threw a lot of interceptions last year. So.
Yeah, he was not great.
Hey, he did run the ball decently well. His coach his coach for most of the year was not great.
Oh my god, dude! I don't know how he kept his job. Yeah. Honestly.
Matt Nagy.
All right, do we want to run through these last 10 on one go?
Yeah, we can roll through that. We have Trevor Lawrence, Mitch Trubisky, Davis Mills. We already talked about him. Carson Wentz at 24, Zach Wilson, Tua Tagovailoa, Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Matt Ryan, Mac Jones.
Daniel Jones is so bad he became David. Yikes.
No one even remembers his name.
Yeah.
It's
he's just happy to be there.
Yeah, sorry, my guy. Drew Jones, Donnie Jones, Danny.
We just gonna change his name every time.
Every time. Every single time. There's a lot of D names out there every time we talk about him. We'll just have to remember to keep that going through other episodes till we run out of names. But yeah, what do you guys think about this?
I think Trevor Lawrence will probably do better this year. I think he's gonna be higher than what you've got him at.
You think he's gonna be better than 21?
Yeah.
So looking at the numbers, because you mentioned him, you think he's going to have more than 4,400 yards?
I don't know if he's going to have more yards, but I think he's going to have more touchdowns.
Yeah. Based on his touchdown percentage last year, I mean, it's rough. I upgraded it, too. But
well, with Travis Etienne coming back from injury and Robinson at running back, James Robinson running back. I mean, their run game is good. So I don't know if they'll need to pass the ball as much. So that's why I don't think he might not get more than 4,400 yards, but I think he could get more touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could see some more touchdowns, and he rushes a decent amount. So, yeah, I could see him ending up higher than that. It's hard with the rookies because, you know, there's limited things and I have to extrapolate off of basically the team before they got there and then adjust again. So, I mean, yeah, I can see him finishing higher and I kind of hope he does because I do have him in a couple of dynasty leagues. So, I mean, that sounds good to me. Chris, well, that, and, or, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Getting Christian Kirk will help.
See, I don't really think either of those people are that good.
I mean, they might not have, they don't have to be the best, but if they're good for Jacksonville, then if it works, it works, right? Like,
so basically, what you're saying is if
they're upgrading their receivers 100%.
If my older sister's hand-me-downs fit, I'll wear them.
I don't know if Kirk's a hand-me-down, though. Christian Kirk with Arizona was serviceable, especially as a deep threat.
Yeah, but
have Marvin Jones.
Sure, yeah, but as a deep threat and serviceable, does not a wide receiver one make? And they paid him like a wide receiver one.
It does in Jacksonville.
Yeah, like, I think that, he's a wide receiver one in Jacksonville.
That's just sad. That cannot be.
Well, I think they were just following the trend, though, because
they signed him. No. Christian Kirk, he broke the mold.
He was the start of the trend. I wonder if, like, they had some, like, back channel, like, they had been talking to some bigger names, and the bigger names were like, I signed if you give me this number, and they were like, oof, that's kind of ungodly, and they were like, Christian Kirk, how much for you? And he was, like, the one reasonable one, or at least at the top of their spend, and they were like, okay, we'll go with you.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty Jags way to handle that, so, I mean...
I'm hopeful.
I am too. And did I send you guys, speaking of the Jags, did I send you guys a screenshot of the email? Or not, was it an email or a text? A voicemail. Yeah, did I send you guys the audio transcript email, or not email, voicemail that I got from somebody working with the Jags? This person worked with the Jags. Okay, so I went to a Jags preseason game like 6 years ago. Not 6 years ago, no, because that was our first season. So 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I went to a Jags preseason game because they were playing my Eagles. I got a call from somebody working with the Jacksonville Jaguars that says, hey, Cameron, have you set up any plans for the upcoming 2022 season? The Jacksonville Jaguars are gearing up for an amazing performance on the field, and I was curious if you wanted to be here in person. Here's my number. My name is Alyssa. I'm your personal point of contact. Like, I'd love for you to save my number and reach out whenever the time is needed that you need two tickets to be here for some games.
Can't say they don't try to put fans in the stands.
I'm just saying, like, that script that they gave that poor woman. Why are you giving me your name and telling me to, like, hit you up personally? Like, bro, if I want tickets, I'm pretty sure I can get them just about anywhere.
Yeah, they're not hard to come across. I mean,
it's but again, why the personal touch? They didn't do this the last two seasons between the last time I went to a game and I only went to a preseason game. Like, it's just, to me, it's just funny. Like, you guys don't seem to understand where I'm coming from.
No, it is. It seems a little overdone. Like, if they were selling to someone from, like, a generation before you, maybe you needed that personal touch. But in today's day and age, it's like, let me hop on an app, get some cheap tickets, and move on with my life.
Yeah,
a friend out of it.
Yeah, it was just weird. So anyway, yeah, I can see Trevor Lawrence ending up higher. I already talked about Davis Mills. Chris already talked about Trubisky.
I think two was a name that could potentially climb up. Just given the weapons, it's kind of like he's driving a Rolls Royce. So if he does it right, he should theoretically get more fantasy value. One name that does jump out to me, and I think I just have a soft spot for him because Matty Ice is just, I mean, although he was the architect of one of the worst, what's the word I'm looking for when you don't clutch something? Plus.
Oh.
When you choke. One of the worst choke situations. Yeah. With the 28-3, but him and Indy is an interesting fit. I still think he's got some in the tank. They have some good weapons, and he doesn't have to worry about getting killed every play because of his offensive line is top, one of the top in the AFC, and he's got a run game that he can play action off of. That should be pretty nice. But otherwise, a lot of these names I feel like are in the right spot.
So the reason I think that Matt Ryan ended up here is that he doesn't throw, other than last year, historically, he doesn't throw to his running back a whole lot. And he also is playing now for a team that has one of the best running backs in the league. And I had to adjust his average of attempts because I think a lot of them are going to go to Jonathan Taylor just on the ground. They also have... Oh, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. The second running back behind... Oh, man. It's not Mac Jones because
he's... Are you talking about
Naeem Hines. There you go. Like, they also have Naeem Hines, and he can run through the tackles, too. So, like, I think they like, last year, they leaned on their run game a lot. I think it's going to be a lot of the same this year. I think Matt Ryan is basically being brought in to be a game manager. So I don't have him with a whole lot of touchdowns. I have them getting a lot of their points on the ground. I have them getting a lot more work done that way. Just because even last year they were mostly run. And yeah, I upped it a little bit just because I think that a lot of it was because they didn't trust Carson Wentz. But at the same time, even Matt Ryan didn't throw as much last year as he usually does. So that's kind of why he finished where he did. But yeah, I could see him finishing decently higher than that. But even Carson Wentz in that same situation was pretty low last year.
My evidence was actually going to be to the contrary there. Carson Wentz was QB 14.
Oh.
So, same offense, same style, same coach. I think I take Matt Ryan over Carson Wentz if I'm choosing between two formerly good MVP, or potentially, did Matt Ryan ever win MVP? I don't think he did, but I know Carson Wentz did at one point, or got close. Either way, both quarterbacks of the past, I would take Matt Ryan over him. And Carson Wentz was QB 14 in that same offense. So I have my suspicion is Matt Ryan should be in that. I wouldn't say like crazy like top 12. I would say maybe in that 14 to 20 range.
I'd have to go in and look at the completion percentage for Matt Ryan 66, Carson Wentz 63, so it's not that. There has to be a reason why he didn't end up getting... Carson Wentz has, like, 60 more attempts passing, and Matt Ryan doesn't run the ball ever. So, like, he does, but doesn't get any points out of it. Carson Wentz runs a decent amount. So I think that's where the majority of those points are coming from. But at this point, you're picking hairs between 332 and 292. So a total of 40 points. Like, that's the problem when you get down to this area. That's the only real difference. It's only 40 points. If you split that over 17 games, it's pretty small. So, like, once you get down there, it's... Yeah. He probably will end up a little bit higher, but that's where he ended up. But yeah, I feel that. Yeah, I feel you. I feel you on that.
The gap is very small, so that really we're picking one or two people. Like, all of this can be jumbled because we're over the span of 17 games. You're talking a couple points here and there.
Right.
Change this ranking and this list completely. So I think once you get to a certain point, the difference is minimal between these, which goes to a point that you were making in one of your mock draft episodes, that position talent scarcity and how quarterback is, and I've said it before, this is one of the deepest years for it. That,
oh yeah, definitely, you
know, 32 could potentially be in the top 15 on any given week.
Oh yeah, I think every year the statistic is something like 40 plus QBs are in the top 12. So, like, over the course of a year, like, there are 42 different QBs that make their way into the top 12. So, yeah, anybody at any point in time could end up there. It's a very deep position this year. I very much agree with that. And once you get past, like, the top 10, the rest are fairly close together. So, the real point of all this is to say, you plant your flag on which top couple guys. If you're in a super flex league, you go with a range of guys, whoever are available, and then you plant your flag on them. Otherwise, they're all fairly close after top 13. So, yeah, that was a rankings breakdown. Projections breakdown, not a rankings breakdown. Rankings would be different a little bit. I'm going to start putting together my projections for wide receiver this week, I think. And we can come back and talk about that then. But do you guys have any other thoughts, comments, concerns before we get out of here?
No. I'm excited. This is. It feels like football's coming closer and closer.
I think we're like 75 days, 74 days now, something like that. As of recording, I think that's something like that. Yeah, man. From
preseason.
No. July, August. No, from regular season. Because we just have to get through July and August, and then we're basically into the regular season. So.
Well, thank goodness, because we're in baseball-only time right now, and I'm dying.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. It's only been a day, and it's just... I can't wait for opening week. Man, Pats Dolphins, dude. It's going to be so good. That's going to be a good... we're going to have some fun.
I need football to come back. I need another sport to come back, because I'm right there with Chris about this whole only baseball.
Yeah, that's rough.
I'm upset when that Colorado won the Stanley Cup, too.
Yeah, I'm also upset by that as a Tampa Bay fan.
Well, Michaela's a Tampa Bay fan, so of course she wanted them. But yeah. I don't know, man. I watched all the playoffs, and Colorado looked just... They were on fire the whole season. Them or Edmonton were my pick, but I thought Edmonton would have beat them. But enough about hockey. This is football.
Nah, all sports come through for a little bit every now and again. Except for baseball. I don't really...
I'll go to a game in person, but...
But watching it, dude, so boring, dude. Awful.
Yeah, live awful, over awful. TV, 100%.
Although, I think it's funny... I think it's funny. Don't you like watching golf?
I love watching golf.
See, now I don't I don't understand how you can enjoy watching golf and hate watching.
Oh, dude, baseball. I will literally sit and watch like hours of golf.
Yeah, you and one of the guys I used to work with would have gotten along great, and I just don't understand it. I would rather watch baseball, and I wouldn't want to watch baseball. But like, even the announcers sound like they're barely awake. Like,
see, I grew up with it. Like every
week. I mean, I grew up with it too, and it would put me to sleep, and I just got sad. So this is what I had to watch. Same with NASCAR.
Play a round of with golf. You can go out and play a round of golf, and you can feel how hard it is, and like see what they do. And if you play, you understand that what they're doing is so high level.
Yeah. Dude, I'm just so bad. I love to play golf. In amazement. But I'm so bad at it.
I'm terrible, but watching them do like
But that's the same. That's the same thing with every single sport. Like if you think about it,
you can't go out and play baseball by yourself. Like you're not going out and playing a round of baseball by yourself. But you can go play
a
round of baseball.
You can go to a batting cage. You can easily go to a batting cage. Just throw that out there.
He doesn't understand sports. Let's go play a round of baseball, guys.
Let's go play a series.
Score a touchdown.
A quarter of. let's play a quarter of golf. Yeah, we'll see. We'll take a halftime.
Who's winning?
We'll take a halftime. Who's thrown the most touchdowns? That's fun. Who's Wimbledy borped? I don't know many other references. So,
you got a good bit out of that, though.
Yeah, it was fun. Just like this episode was very fun. Hey, guys, thanks for joining me again. This is the Fantasy Football Friends podcast. Hit us up at FFB Friends on Twitter and the FFB Friends at gmail.com. Hit us with those questions, those comments, anything you want to tell us. That'd be fun. We'll talk about it on a recording. Also, please like, subscribe, tell other people about this. Get that word out. That way we can grow. What's the word I'm looking for? We want to entertain. Are you not entertained? I hope you're entertained. Anyway.
I'm entertained.
I had fun. Time was fun. All right, guys.
I would have 100% ended the episode with, are you not entertained?
I was thinking about it, but I was like, I was really close to doing it, but then I didn't want to not give you guys one more chance to just say bye to the guests. But
see, that would have been worth it, though.
Are you not entertained?